White Flag Games is proud to present the Lore Forge podcast. We discuss world building, lore, and literature theory for the purpose of helping others create great role-playing scenarios. My name is Joe McNeil, and I'm the producer. On this episode, we'll be discussing Jeffrey Cohen's Monster Culture Thesis. Part 3, Thesis 1, The Monster's Body is a Cultural Body.
The popular franchise Fallout depicts a lot of monsters in of itself. It has both a mix of the development of technology getting out of control with the use of nuclear technology ruining the world as a whole. It has the depictions of the actual monsters, the irradiated creatures that persist in the world that are both man-made horror and primal fears embodied, and also monsters within ourselves, where some people debase themselves, becoming the raiders and utilizing their power over another to take what they think is theirs and live in this new world where there's no laws, there's no rules, and there's no repercussions for their actions, leading them to be a monster in the eyes of other people. Today, I, Solomon, am joined with Isabel and Isaiah, and we're going to talk about the cultural body of a monster and how it impacts society as a whole in the first thesis.
So in Jeffrey Cohen's monster theory, the first thesis is entitled The Monster's Body is a Cultural Body. And I think Fallout is a great example of the cultural fears of what can happen when the utilization of nuclear technology gets out of hand, goes too far, and society both being impacted by this on an actual physical scientific level and as a cultural level itself. It's not only like fear of the monster just because it's creepy, but it's creepy because it happened with radiation. We're in a situation where, like, you know, if this ever were to go too far in real life, these, you know, horrifying effects on the body and causing illnesses can take place, maybe to a less fantastical extent, but just as horrifying.
I think the choice in the world as well to it still takes place in a not too distant future when the world has fallen apart. But the choice that as a culture, everybody kind of reverted back a few years to a time where there was just this nice poppy nuclear family aesthetic to America and life seemed to be returned to an older state, perhaps a more Cold War period-esque look of America as a whole, even though that they have been several years into the future, because it was around that time when the fears of this atomic kind of discovery, the building of these nuclear weapons, the invention of nuclear power to sustain not only just homes, but cities as well, started to happen. So that's a very nice choice to have the actual physique of the aesthetic of like America and its citizens, stuff like that, reverting back to that time period adds more of a like a time sense of when this problem first happened and now it's happening again.
Yeah. And one thing about this thesis is that it really is talking about like anxieties and how whatever we fear, whatever we're like anxious about, will appear in what we find scary. And so obviously there was a lot of anxiety during the Cold War. And anytime that, you know, the political landscape gets rocky again, anytime that things feel uncertain, there's always that knowledge in the back of our minds that nuclear weapons exist. And that causes more anxiety and can cause those monsters to appear in our culture again.
I didn't feel like how in Fallout they even kept zombies in there because they're so fearful as well with they, you know, irradiated them for the time period. They're ugly. And they also hit the fact of losing control. Those are the three main ones that it all hits at once. And Fallout still brings in the zombie.
Yeah. The ghoul, as they're commonly termed in zombie, is both a utilization of like, oh yeah, this looks like a zombie. It's a popular monster that utilized a lot, even recently. And the aspect of like insanity, as most ghouls aren't even more of a I'm a actual monster or an undead being, as things kind of depict in like fantasy settings and whatnot. They are really just an embodiment of someone who's suffered so much radiation poisoning that they've become insane. Their mind has been addled and they act like an impulsive, savage creature because they no longer can think straight. They only act on their instinct and impulses, and it causes them to act like this freakish creature that's not human-like. And it helps add to the monstrous appearance of not only what a zombie is, but what insanity looks like and mental disabilities and stuff
Yeah.
like that.
And that's a great example because it shows that as a zombie, it represents that specific cultural fear from, you know, what it is a product of those fears of nuclear anxieties, but also zombies in different, you know, pieces of media, different cultural contexts have those different meanings. So when, you know, zombies were first kind of introduced in movies, I could be wrong, I think it was the 30s, there was a movie called White Zombie, where it was the fear that this, you know, unknown type of scary voodoo magic from afar would come and affect a quote unquote pure white woman, and how that fear of like outside cultures and the unknown at the time painted zombies as something that was scary because of that fear of, you know, either immigration or the fear of different races. So, taking that idea to something now, you know, anything that you see that has a type of monster in it is a product of this time. Anything that might be created is a product of this time. So, I think no matter what you try to make, it's obviously going to be a product of its time. But there are probably ways that you can tap into that and, you know, look around you and take ideas and mold them in a way that would resonate with people experiencing your story. So, are there any, I don't know, are there any like monsters that you might consider more pertinent right now? Monsters that you think would resonate with people right now? I had mentioned off the recording actually, I've seen a lot of uptick in the amount of Frankenstein monster that we've seen. And I think that has something to do with, you know, the fear of science advancing. We've talked about AI, we've talked about COVID, and how all of these things are in this cultural moment causing people to resonate with that type of story, perhaps. So, what would you guys consider approaching that would resonate with audiences?
Probably say just like the new movie Venom, not really new, but the remake of the movie Venom or whatever you want to call it, because it's a far reach to say this, but it kind of feels like Venom feels like it's like corrupting people. And so with all of that going on in society right now, it's really like that movie and that kind of creature really pushes on like some of the issues now. But one thing that I really do want to know though is like, how do we either implement some of the cultural things now into like stories and whatnot? Is there any ways you guys could think about that?
Some of the more cultural things that we're facing kind of as a society now, there's a lot less of a sense of like things are all derived out of religion and everything has some sort of religious connotation. A lot of people nowadays either find things to be more explainable as science continues to progress forward. A lot of people no longer have a fear of the unknown, but a fear of what will we learn the more that we uncover the secrets of the universe. What is actually behind the physics of the universe? What's actually out there in space? What's actually at the depths of our own oceans? The fear of what we already know, but being ripped apart and found to have all of its components just laid out bare to see what everything is made out of, with the advancements in things like bacteria, being able to make like telescopes that can see as pinpoint as we can to see things like bacteria on our body. No one knew about that stuff years and years and years ago, that there are actually microorganisms living on our skin and stuff like that. So even that is scary to some people like germaphobes,
Yeah.
who would now see their body as a nest for impossibly small monsters that are living on them. And now they must purge their body of all bacteria and clean themselves because they now see their body as a living space for this
Yeah,
monster.
I like how you're like learning more and knowing more doesn't necessarily make it less scary.
Yeah.
If anything, it also just opens up the possibility to where the unknown is now actually becoming known. So now the unknown that we always feared is becoming known, which I feel like you summarized pretty well.
Yeah, I think just at the place we are now, I definitely back hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we've had several different changes of what as a country, as a continent, as a world in total sees as the scariest thing to date. And I just think at the moment, the thing that scares people the most is now that we are getting more and more technology that we can find out the pinpoint science behind everything, the more that is like, oh, this is actually this the entire time. That's scary.
And I think part of that from a sci-fi perspective is the more you learn, if you're truly doing it for the betterment of humanity, you kind of have to be optimistic about it. You kind of have to expect that anything you discover will hopefully have good come from it. If you're talking about, life in other places in the universe, you have to at least hope that any sort of really super intelligent life would be friendly. And the fear then is, uh-oh, the aliens are bad.
Yeah.
Also, if we found another life form that was less intelligent than us, then the fear would be that we would revert back to our old ways or someone would take power again and reinstate, like, slavery, for instance. Because if we found a less intelligent species, then it almost seemed morally bad to do those type of things. And it almost seems like we'd be, like, conquering them.
Yeah, something like kind of something like Avatar, where as they found this planet full of these large creatures, they were scary and whatnot, but their level of technology was so far beneath humans that humans were like, oh, we can just overpower these people and take what's theirs as ours. Like, we thought there was more intelligent life out there, but instead there's just less intelligent life out there. So we are actually supreme beings, and we've beat them to the race of space travel and stuff like that.
And then that makes you yourself the
It
monster.
makes them a monster, yeah.
And what's interesting also is, especially Avatar, have a tiny bit of beef with Avatar, gonna be honest, mostly from my ethnomusicology perspective. That's a whole other story though. But Avatar is a story about, environmentalism issues, is a story about, taking these resources and misusing the people in order to exploit them, and how that being a cultural, fear of its time, and how as each movie comes out over the next, who knows, 20 years, they seem to take a long time to make.
Yeah, apparently.
I think that that is just going to get more and more obvious in each movie. I haven't seen the second one, be honest, but I think it's.
Than either of them. I just know that's what the
Me
problem is.
neither, yeah.
Oh my goodness. But I think that this issue with environmentalism, the possibilities of environmental disaster, what happens when we take too much, is going to become more and more obvious.
I think that that perhaps could be the next kind of cultural fear as a society, as now at the moment we're like, oh, our technology is heightened and we're learning things that we've never learned before. I think perhaps the next step, or the next step, two steps down, is our time is short. We are living on a planet where we've eaten up all the resources. Something like Wall-E, as an example, where the human race in general was just like, well, we've eaten up all Earth had to offer, and now it's time to leave because there's nothing left for us here. We have the technology to leave. I guess we have to abandon Earth in general because we've either A, mistreated it and utilized too much without replenishing, or B, perhaps the scarcity of, I know some people are talking about the topic of the sun will explode one day. And because we've seen other suns, other stars out in the galaxy explode. And a lot of people are like, maybe that happens to ours at some point. So that adds a fear of a sense of like this clock of doom almost like the Mayan calendar thing where people were like, oh no, the
Yeah.
world's gonna end in 2012. Probably because they ran into space in the rock. But it's just that's just the sense of like we have a limited time versus we have endless time in the world. When people see that they have a limited time, a lot of people, like even in their own lives, when they come to an end, like on their deathbed or whatnot, that sense of like, oh, my life flashes before my eyes. That's almost like a, oh, yeah, I didn't have as much time as I thought to, and I squandered all this time. Now I'm, if they get close to that point and they realize that early, they have this fear of like, I have so little left. What have I done this entire time?
Yeah.
So I feel like to embody those into monster type of deals would be kind of the overarching, like I'm gonna call it like the boss monster, you know, like the big bad boss is just like climate change entirely and like the actual things that happens from it. But in like a fantasy setting, this could be used into a world where, you know, there is either like an evil witch or something like that, or a wizard or a warlock or whatever that's on a mountain peak, like, you know, spewing tornadoes down into the civilization, all while, you know, at the same time, also each time that he does this, it like pollutes the air just a little bit so as they cough more, they get sick more, things like that. I feel like that would be a very good way to kind of, not really good, but it'd be a very interesting way to embody what's going on now into like either a story or a game and things like that.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of fantasy settings, they put a lot of emphasis on pantheons and like deities and stuff like that, and how like heavenly and hellish kind of sources of power are the things that control reality. And sometimes when those sources of power choose its time to operate on the real world, people feel powerless. I think maybe one good example is like in Norse mythology, they have like the Ragnarok, where like
Yeah.
the world pretty much just ends and then resets, and it's like that sense of time mixed with that sense of like there's powers beyond our understanding that we can't even hope to stop, of just being like, hey, the world's just gonna end at some point just because the gods want it to, and that's all we can hope to just live in this limited time and achieve what the gods say is good to us, which in like the North mythology sense is like, oh, I want to go to Valhalla and
Yeah.
go to
One
their
thing
heaven and whatnot.
kind of linking those that would be kind of like cool from a storytelling aspect. I don't know if this would like work in something like D&D because I don't know any other rules. If you kind of took those aspects of climate change and you were like, because of things out of our control, because of just climate change, perhaps monsters that are more elemental are gaining power and becoming more and more powerful in a way that, you know, we can't prevent them from gaining this power, but we can, you know, somehow stop them from destroying a town, hopefully.
Yeah, I think D&D had a D&D 5th edition had a module not too long ago, the Princes of the Apocalypse. There's the they have their own deal pantheon about the four like major elements, fire, earth, air, water, but they're seen more in an evil depiction in Dungeons and Dragons' own system, and they had a module that was about a story where the Princes of the Apocalypse were slowly garnering more power to cause this like end time situation, but to do it, they were using their own powers, which was the forces of nature and the forces of the elements. They were causing natural disasters to speed up the end of the world, to like destroy cities and people as life was trying to live. They were just like, oh, time to flood this city, time to erupt a volcano beside this one, time to
I'm just picturing that
have a
scene from
hurricane come
Disney
in.
Hercules, how
Yeah. Yeah,
the
there's
Titans
that one as well where the in Hercules, was his name, Hades,
Yeah.
he had summoned the Titans, which were also like a elemental creation of the universe, and he was trying to herald the death of the universe so that he could be the last one standing and rule over everyone. And he was releasing these forces so that they could cause chaos and cause destruction to end the world.
So I feel like we're kind of saying that it seems like, at least for this moment, this also might be a generational thing, but it seems like a fear of the world ending, but it's out of your control, but you have to keep fighting is kind of prevalent now.
I think that happened a lot back in the day when people didn't have the resources we had now to learn about the because no one knew what a tornado was, and they were just like, perhaps we didn't sacrifice enough goats, and now Zeus is causing this storm and this tornado has ripped apart my farm. But in reality, then science has uncovered the fact that it's like, oh, it's because the mixing of cold and hot air as the wind currents progress and the currents of the sea have a lot of influence on the weather. And now that there's all these developments, it's like, well, people back then just didn't have this. They didn't know what this was. So they went to the furthest extremes of like, it has to be some sort of greater power because there's no way we could stop a tornado. But I think that's what caused a lot of those like physical problems. I think nowadays it's easier to not be afraid of stuff like that. I know there's this sense of like, oh, Yellowstone might erupt or like the sun might explode or whatnot, but it's too far and few now where it's like, we're not afraid of now what we consider little stuff like a tornado. Cause it's like, we know that just happens. You live in somewhere like where we live now in like Indiana.
It's just a very like practical fear instead. We're right on that.
Like, yeah. It's more of just like, it's almost a facet of life now where it's just like, it's something that happens and it's something that we can bounce back from. It's not something that we're afraid of anymore. It's just, it's now an inconvenience. It's just
and
like,
also,
it's a terrible inconvenience, of course, but it's now just like a, I mean, this stuff happens. It's nothing to be afraid of.
And also, it feels like every single generation before us will always have, like, those big fears. Like, right now, we have, you know, climate change, Yellowstone erupting, things like that. Or, you know, just another oil crisis where we finally realize there is no more oil. Or that we're running out and things like that. But I'm trying to think of another, like, besides just, like, the general things that they didn't know. Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Black Plague, for instance. Like, a third of the world's population just done died, and I couldn't imagine what they were actually thinking at that moment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for the hundreds of years. The time, a lot of people were probably just like, oh, this is end times. Like, this was definitely after the fact that something like the Bible had come out where people had this sense of, like, we've got these prophecies and these foretellings that the world is going to end.
Yes.
And then when something as bad and cataclysmic as that happens, a lot of people would jump to these conclusions like, it's this. Like, clearly it's this. Bad things are happening. That means that the end is nigh. You see that in like the movies and stuff where there's the homeless crazy guy and he's holding the
knife. Yeah.
That happens a lot as things just keep jumping generation after generation. There's a new problem. And when super bad things like that happen, a lot of people, when they're like, we don't have an explanation for this, will just be like, ah, and throw darts at the board and see what sticks and just be like, I don't know what the actual answer is. It could be anything. I'm going to choose something and say that that's what I think it is. And that's what just the human brain, I think, does when it's just like, what's happening? It's something like paralysis demons. When you get like sleep paralysis, like your brain, when you are in that chemical like state of like, my body's asleep, but my brain has just woken up on accident, and you have this sense of like, I can't do anything with my body, but the brain is now the only thing awoken, and all that you can kind of envision is like the wildest things. I mean, even not just sleep paralysis, but like dreams in general, when like the brain is trying to either fix itself or solve emotional damage on its own, it will just be like, I don't know, I'll just think of something random that might be associated with this emotion. If you're feeling a lot of anxiety,
A lot of people have that kind of dream where it's like, I know I'm like 50, but I'm having this dream where I'm in school and I'm not wearing pants and I'm trying to do my presentation. It's just because it's like,
You get a lot of anxiety.
you associate that situation with anxiety. And if you're feeling a lot of anxiety in your life at the moment, you'll just get that dream because the brain will be like, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. So what is other things that are related to this, huh? And just
Have a backup.
it'll roll off of that fact.
Something you said that immediately I was like, oh my goodness, I get to talk about this, is the sleep paralysis demon. That is something that we learned, introductory in the folklore classes about like supernatural encounters, I suppose, and kind of that idea of like the sleep paralysis demon or the old hag. And what's interesting is thankfully I dodged it, but it said that every time you learn about it, every time you do the reading for the class, every time you try to learn about it, it's going to happen to you. And it's, thankfully, I have not had the horrible experience of a sleep paralysis demon or an old hag sitting on my chest yet. Oh, I know, I'm going to start talking about it and it's going to happen. And it's kind of that thing of the unknown being fearful, no matter what cultural moment you're in. And so the things that color that are whatever is most prevalent in society at the time.
I think that will be the one that always is popping up in cultural monsters is the fear of the unknown. There's always going to be a fear of the unknown. There's no way that one generation will be like, well, that was it. We've learned everything we can. We just finished. There will always be a next thing we need to learn about, a next thing we need to learn about. And I think that will just be the biggest thing that culture will always have to deal with is just unknown fears.
So everything that is unknown and causing those fears will also continue to like cause anxiety in people, because like you said, the unknown will always be there, and so there will always be something that you can draw upon, something that is not only scary to you but will be scary to those in your community, that might be scary to the world as a whole at the moment. And that specific thing that is in the forefront of people's minds will always shift. And it's how the same monster can end up meaning different things at different periods of time. But no matter how you color it, those issues will stick with us and continue to develop into these monsters, continue to develop into this sense of there's more to this world than I can ever truly understand.
Thank you for listening to the Lore Forge podcast. Join us next week as we discuss more on Jeffrey Cohen's monster culture thesis. This was recorded live at White Flag Games in Mooresville, Indiana, produced by Joe McNeil, featuring Isabella Rock, Isaiah Parker, and Solomon McNeil. Theme music by Alex McNeil.